This morning we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 10 to 11. And our reading and most of our verses in that will be in the New Living Translation. If it's otherwise, I'll let you know at the time. But the main reading is in the NLT. And this morning's message is about serving one another and how in doing so we are also serving the Lord. The book of 1 Peter is written by Peter to God's chosen people. And the key theme of Peter's letter is God's grace. He explains this in chapter 5 verse 12 when he says, "My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in that grace." And it's against this background of God's grace that Peter addresses a number of subjects and life experiences. And one of these topics is serving one another. When we serve, we do so and are motivated to do so because God first showed His grace towards us. So let's come to today's reading. Peter chapter 4 verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. So let's just pray before we come. Amen. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your word. Lord, we pray that our hearts are open to what You have to say to us, Lord. And Lord, may we just take what You're teaching us this morning and apply it to our lives. Father, help us to be servants in Your will. Help us to recognize that, Lord, You have shown us grace in our lives and have gifted us with many skills and abilities and resources and things that can be used to further Your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, verse 10 says that God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. So, we have been given gifts, and God is the source of those gifts. Now, as we know through Scripture, everything that we have or possess comes from God. Now, this is not limited to the physical, but includes such things as our abilities, our talents, and our salvation. They all come from the Lord. And a quick survey of Scripture supports this idea. And I will move through these quickly. Psalm chapter 24 verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him." Romans 11 verse 36. "For everything comes from Him and exists by His power and is intended for His glory." Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9 talks about how our salvation comes from God. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now reading Psalm 139, we see that it is the Lord who made us who we are, and He even knows each of our days before they happen. So I'm just going to read from Psalm 139 verses 13 to 16. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and knit me together in my mother's womb. thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And so, our very lives, who we are, what we are called to do, everything we have, whether it is physical, spiritual, or ability-wise, it all comes from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 to 20 puts it this way, "You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." Because of God's grace and because of what He has done for us and given us, we should honor Him first and foremost. We should use what we have been given to serve Him and to serve others. Now, coming back to verse 10, we see that Peter tells us that God has given us a specific gift or gifts. And what are these gifts for? Well, here in 1 Peter chapter 4, and in any scripture about the spiritual gifts, there are always two things that are stated about them. Firstly, they are always received through God's grace, and this is done by His Spirit. And secondly, they are always given not primarily for our own benefit, but to serve others. And that's universal throughout scripture. They're God-given, and they are for serving others. It's important to note that word each. Each of us has been given a gift. That means all of us have received some sort of gifting from the Lord. And what is that for you? Well, if you're not sure, we will shortly look at the two general areas of spiritual gifts. And you'll find that there are a multitude of God-given abilities and talents that can help us to serve each other. And they're not all limelight grabbing type gifts either. Often there are things going on in the background which have just as much, if not more, effect than the so-called greater gifts. You'll probably find that you already have some sort of gifting and you are already operating in it. Now, as an example, let's look at our own church family here at Wanganui East Baptist Church. We see some of these gifts operating. Now, there are some people here who have the gift of the gab. Now, God uses that to share the word through preaching and teaching, but it goes further than that. Some people are gifted at sharing one-on-one with others. Then we see in operation the gift of empathy, or as it's better known, the gift of kindness. Some people we know seem gifted when it comes to visiting and sitting with others. Others have the knack of seeing a need and meeting a need. And some just simply call you or put an arm around you just at the right moment. And I think we can all think of individuals here that fit that mold. One of the other gifts is service. And there are a lot of ways people serve in a practical way to keep this church running, whether it's on a Sunday morning or through our various other functions as a church. And of course, some serve outside of these four walls and within our community. The other thing we note about gifts is that there are a variety of gifts. And there are a variety of gifts partly because He made us all different and has different callings for each of us. But probably more so, we have a variety of gifts because the work of God is vast. What He is doing here and in other God-led ministries is huge, and it requires a variety of tasks to be undertaken. His work through us takes many hands and a variety of skills. Now, in cricket, there is a term that is used to describe a certain type of player. An all-rounder is someone who is able to bat and bowl at a reasonably high level. Other players generally specialise in just one of those disciplines. Now, sometimes in church life, there is a tendency to think that the all-rounder can accomplish all that needs to be done. But that's not true. In cricket, it takes the entire team, it also includes their coaches and their management team, for them to be able to compete. The all-rounder is just a part of that team effort. And it's the same in church. When it comes to God's work, there's more than just two facets, like batting and bowling. While some people are multi-gifted, the needs are just too varied and too many for an individual all-rounder to do the lot. We can't rely on just one married couple who have been ordained to do it all. We need more than just a small team of leaders supported by various dedicated people. The task ahead requires the entire community of believers, equipped with their various giftings, working together in the Spirit of the Lord. And that's true here at Whanganui's Baptist and in the wider Christian community throughout this city and throughout this nation. We all have a role to play in the work of the church through our own God-given spiritual gifts. So God has given each of us a gift. What does he say about these gifts? Well, the second part of verse 10 tells us that we are to use them well to serve one another. The New International Version quotes verse 10 this way: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we are to use our gifts well, or in other words, be faithful stewards of the spiritual gifts that we have received. Now, the definition of a steward is someone who is employed to manage the affairs of their employer. A steward in the ancient world was a person who was given the responsibility and the authority to rule over the affairs of a household. Now, a good example of this is Joseph. He was a steward over Potiphar's house. He managed everything in the household, and he was given authority to rule over the house. Now, when we think of being a steward, there's two aspects of stewardship that we should consider. Firstly, we as stewards do not own the resources or have the authority in our own right over the things that we are a steward of. They belong to God. Those things have been given or appointed to us. Now, I'm employed as a manager of a division of the electrical company that I work for. I don't own any of the buildings, the vehicles, the plants, or the materials. However, I have a hand personally in managing those things. I don't pay the wages to each worker to compensate them for their labour. However, I've been authorised to schedule their time in an attempt to have the required work done in a timely manner. Occasionally, we actually achieve this. And that's just the trades, isn't it? It's similar to being stewards in a biblical sense. As we mentioned before, all that we have, all that we are, all that we are capable of doing is source from the Lord. When we minister to one another, we are actually ministering to one of God's children. When we are reaching out to the lost, we are doing so with God's word. And when we serve using the Lord's spiritual gifts, we do so with what we have received from him. Now, also being a steward, the second thing is that with stewardship comes responsibility. When we serve one another, there is a responsibility to use God's gifts well. We are to use what we are given and to do so to the best of our ability. And we do this with a desire to see his will come to pass. So, What is our responsibility? Well, we are responsible to fully utilize what God has given us. You may be familiar with the parable of the three servants. That's from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And I'm just going to read it, but paraphrase it, so it's very much abbreviated. A man going away entrusted three of his servants with various amounts of money. Two of the servants put the money to work in some way, and they managed to double what they had received. And the man praised each one of them, saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The third servant did not use what he was given. In fact, he did the opposite. He hid it. And the man's rebuke to this servant was quite harsh. "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." There is a responsibility to use what God has given us and to use it well. Now, part of the steward's responsibility is to develop the spiritual gifts that we are given. It could be a bit of training involved. It could be a case that you might need to exercise the gift in a small way before taking on bigger things. When we receive his spiritual gifting, we generally develop it gradually. This could even take a lifetime. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses an analogy of an athlete who disciplines their body and trains it to do what it should as an illustration of how he continually develops his own ministry. Moving on to verse 11, we see that there are generally two types of gifting that God gives us. There are the gifts of speaking and the gifts of service. Coming first to the gifts of speaking through God's word, the first part of verse 11. "Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you." Now, our immediate thought here is to say that this is all about preaching, which is limited to a few people and therefore nothing to do with me. But when we look a bit deeper and look at the specific gifts throughout Scripture, we discover that these gifts of speaking come in various forms and as such can be given to a wide variety of God's people. So it's helpful to look at where and when we are using our words to help others. An obvious example is teaching. There are various scenarios in which we are teaching one another. There are things like home groups, youth group leaders, Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, discipling groups, and so on. There can also be unofficial situations where we are teaching. How many small groups share the task of taking a study around the different members of that group? So all of that group is participating in teaching. How many of you over a Sunday lunch with guests share God's word in a way that is informative and educational? Again, that's teaching. And of course, teaching can come in the form of parents teaching their children. It can happen through, we can be teaching through the form of writing. And even if we get into this modern world, you may be looking at teaching through things like posting blogs and teaching through that way as well. Now, I'm not trying to give a definitive list here, but rather show how the speaking gift can be manifested in a variety of ways by a large number of God's people. You may not be a teacher with a capital T like John Piper. However, God may be developing the gift of teaching in you to serve within this congregation, within your family, and amongst your friends. just give you a couple of examples, other examples of gifts of speaking. Romans 12 verse 8 talks about the gift of encouragement, so obviously they're speaking involved with that. The gift of showing kindness. Now this can be both a speaking and a practical service gift. 1 Corinthians 12 mentions the gift of giving wise advice. And there's things like evangelism, where someone is speaking the gospel to an unbeliever. So when it comes to the gifts of speaking, it's not just all about preaching or those more out there sort of things. No matter what type of speaking gift you have, there is an important way to exercise it. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. The English Standard Version puts it this way: whoever speaks does so as one who speaks oracles of God. Now, that brings us back to the fact that these are gifts are given to us by the Spirit. It's not just our own natural ability to preach or to teach or to encourage one another. When we do these things, we do it as though God Himself was speaking through us. And it again highlights the responsibility of stewardship. It's not about us bringing forward our own opinions, our own thoughts, our own anecdotes. It's God's Word that is the engine room of these giftings. Now, the responsibility of developing a gift of speaking would involve things like reading and studying and gaining an ongoing understanding of God's Word. The other general type of gift is of practical serving. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Now, there are many ways in which we can help and serve others. When it comes to the gifts of service, they do seem to be identified in a general sense. The gift of helping others, which is mentioned here in 1 Peter 4 verse 11, is in a broad sense rather than spelling out exactly how to help others. And it's similar with the gifts of serving, of leadership, of giving, and the gift of showing kindness. They seem to be practical gifts that are not clearly defined other than that they are there to help and serve others. And I guess that is where our abilities, our resources come together with a God-given desire to help and serve as the Spirit leads. The key to the gifts of helping others is to do so in the strength and the energy that God supplies. What does that mean exactly? Well, my thought is that we are to deliberately seek that place where God can strengthen us and revitalize us, as opposed to us just simply boxing on in our own strength day in and day out. And I'd imagine that we would find that this is a place of prayer, a place of coming under the Word, allowing it to equip and encourage us, and it could be a place of where others minister and teach us as they are led by the Lord. God will supply us the strength and the energy to serve in the way that He desires to. Now, I just want to briefly look at two examples of God's people from the New Testament and the ways that they served others. And I deliberately chose people that are not well known, and in fact they have very little mentioned about them. You'll probably recognize their names. However, they are not the Peters or the Pauls that serve God in some fantastic way. They might just look a little bit more like you and me. And yet there is no doubt that their service had an impact for God's kingdom in their local church at that time. Now, the first example is actually a husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila. Most of what we can learn about them comes from Acts chapter 18. So I'm just going to read through everything that we have on them. It's not a lot, but it says a lot about them. Acts chapter 18 verses 1 to 3. Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was. And then going down to the second part of verse 18, in Acts 18, then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. When we come to verses 24 to 26, we actually see an event that Aquila and Priscilla were involved with. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. The last mention of this couple was in Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 4. And it's Paul speaking here, and he's bringing his greetings to the church of Rome. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. So, what can we glean about this couple? Well, they travelled with Paul and ministered in various locations to various churches. And those churches in turn were grateful for their ministry. They were practical people. They were tent makers. And I think in some other versions say that they were leather workers. They exercised hospitality. Paul not only worked alongside them, he also lived with them in Corinth. And just on that same vein of hospitality, they hosted a church in their home in Rome. Now, they obviously had some sort of gifting to teach. They took Apollos aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. The beauty of these guys is that they are always mentioned as ministering together. They serve God and they served others as husband and wife, and as a team. And I think that's quite an awesome example to us. Now, the second example that I would like to look at is a lady by the name of Phoebe. And there is only one mention of her in Scripture, and that is in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 2, where she is introduced to them. She probably presented Paul's letter to the Romans, and was part of the team that did so. And this is what Paul had to say about her. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchreae. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Phoebe is quoted as being a deacon in her local church. The Greek word for deacon is diakonos and translates as servant. This means that she could have been a leader in the church, or could mean that she served faithfully, or probably more likely both. The second attribute credited to Phoebe was that she was a benefactor or someone who helped many. Phoebe showed kindness to others. How she served others is unclear. But what is clear is that Paul commended her for her service. So what she did had an impact. No doubt all three of these people were using the gifts that they had received from God, and in doing so faithfully served others and did so to bring glory to Him. That brings us to our final point. Why do we serve one another? Now, this message this morning hasn't been a definitive study on the spiritual gifts that God gives to his church. I've hardly touched on the various scriptures that are relating to that topic. Rather, I felt led to get to the heart of why we have received the spiritual gifts of God and why we use them to minister to others. What is our motivation? Well, one of our motives is that we are following the example of our Lord. Now, while not specifically being elaborated on in Peter's letter, we know through other parts of Scripture that Christ is the ultimate example of servanthood. We look at verses such as Mark chapter 10, verse 45. But even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. And just note how this passage begins. Verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So Christ, who died for us, did so as a servant, and we are to have the same attitude as our servant king. And I'm using that description deliberately, the servant king, because we're about to sing about the servant king. Coming back to Peter, the last part of verse 11 also explains why we serve one another. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Then everything that we do is to God's glory. We serve others for God's glory. When we use the giftings that he has given us and use them well, then we are a part of his will being fulfilled. Yes, it may be small in the grand scheme of things, but it makes a difference to those that you serve. It is the Lord's work that is carried out through us by his enabling, and it is done to his glory. Let's summarize what we've studied this morning. The key theme of Peter's letter to the church is God's grace. He encourages us to stand firm in that grace. We are saved by grace. It's nothing that we have earned or deserve. And the Lord also, in his grace, has equipped us with spiritual gifts. Why? So that we can serve others, and in doing so we bring glory to God through Christ. Certain versions of the Bible refer to the gifts as being the gifts of God's various grace. The ESV is very similar to the NIV in its version of verse 10, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, and it puts it this way. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We are saved by grace, we receive gifts of service by grace, and then by being good stewards of those gifts, we are actually bringing God's grace to others. And that is not done in our own strength, but by what we have received from the Lord, by speaking as if it is he who is speaking through us, and by serving in his strength and by his energy. We have the responsibility of ministering God's grace to one another. We are to do it his way and to his glory. Let's finish with a couple of very relevant scriptures. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. And that brings us back to the heart of who we are and why we serve the Lord. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." And Colossians chapter 3 verses 23 to 24. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you first showed us grace, and Lord, you sent your Son to die so that our sins can be paid. We thank you for the grace that you've shown to us. Lord, we thank you that through your grace you have gifted us with certain skills and abilities and resources. And Father, we just pray that as we just submit to your will, Lord God, that we will see these things be used to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.